Whether we like it or not, we all have a daily routine. Hopefully, when y'all got up this morning, you either took a shower last night or you took a shower this morning, okay? I hope that when you said, I'm going to go to church, that you went and you picked out clean clothes, that you brushed your teeth, that you did all those nice personal hygiene things to make yourself presentable to God. You know, we all have a routine, and for the most of us, our routine is get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed. Get up, go to work, eat dinner, go to bed. Okay?
Shower.
Huh?
Shower.
Shower. There have been a lot of studies about the daily routines of the average American. And this one comes out of the Telegraph, which is a newspaper out of Great Britain. And they went and they surveyed all Americans in all 50 states, and they came out with a list of how much time that we spend doing things. And then they kind of rank ordered them. The first thing they came up with is sleep, and they ranked it by state, and they said in Wisconsin, the typical person will sleep 8 hours and 25 minutes. In Alabama, Mississippi, 9 hours and 8 minutes. For personal grooming, 26 minutes in Vermont. Don't go there. Okay? And then 45 minutes, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina. You know why? Because you're hot and sticky down there. Okay? Commute, if working, 29 minutes up in the north, and then 63 minutes in New York or New Jersey. But they didn't, I can't imagine California wasn't there. I can't imagine San Antonio's not there. It's taking me an hour now to go 7 miles to work because of the gate problems that we have at Lackland right now. Work, if employed, assuming a 5-day week, 9 hours and 40 minutes in Maine, 11 hours and 34 minutes in North Dakota because there's nothing else to do. But housework, 26 minutes in Hawaii, 45 minutes in, that's because the houses are really small, okay? And 45 minutes in North Dakota. Leisure activity, 4 hours, 27 minutes in Utah, 6 hours and 8 minutes in West Virginia. TV watching, 2 hours and 3 minutes in Utah, 3 hours and 38 minutes in West Virginia. Book reading, 12 minutes in Tennessee, 29 minutes in North Dakota. Thinking and relaxing, 10 minutes in Colorado. And that kind of makes sense. Okay? And 30 minutes in Louisiana. But I skipped one deliberately. Religious activity. 2 minutes in Rhode Island and 16 minutes in Louisiana and Mississippi. You know, up in the Northeast, back in the colonial days, they had the Minuteman, right? They would be ready in a minute. But I think there's too many two-minute Christians around here anymore.
Come on.
And you know, if someone just goes to church one day, 1 hour a week, and you average that out of 7 days, you're right in the middle of that. At 8 minutes. Well, that's just one study. There's another study, got this from flowingdata.com, where they basically said, hey, during the every hour of the day, what did you do? The percentage of Americans doing these things. And up on the top, sleeping, and then working, and then some household activities, and then down here, leisure and relaxing, and then more sleeping up here. But down in this one, religious and spiritual, less than 5% of Americans do anything at any time spiritual during the day. You know, are we a two-minute Christian? Are we part of that 5% that doesn't do much of anything? You know, the Bible says that God is supposed to have the preeminence. And we don't need to be average. We don't need to be the two-minute Christian.
Right.
We need to be something more than that. God, in Psalm chapter 68, verse 19, He gives a great example how God is to us. And in this verse it says this, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who" what? "Daily loadeth us with benefits." Every day He loads us. Loads gives an impression that it's more than what we would ever think. He's got abundant grace. He's got abundant forgiveness. He's got abundant mercy. He's got all these things. And every day, God gives us these things. But what do we give in return to Him? Are we just like the average? No, we should not be average. You know, back 2,000 years ago, in the early church, numbers like this would just flabbergast them. Because that's not the way the early church existed. After Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47, it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." It was just not going to the temple. It was also going to house. You know what they came out of? That came out of their leisure time. Now it may be well said what Paul wrote to Timothy, that in the last days men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It says, "From house to house they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as would be saved." You know, I have a feeling that most churches today don't have things added daily because people don't work daily. People don't look at things. They want to be that two-minute Christian. Don't be average. Don't be average. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, talking about the apostles. The apostles had been, after Pentecost, they've been emboldened. They've gone to the temple. They were preaching the Word of God. And the religious leaders, the same ones that criticized Christ and the same ones that persecuted Him, came and said, "Hey, stop this." And they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And then it says, "And daily in the temple and every house they" what? "Cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to do all things heartily unto Him. That everything that we do in our life could be an act of worship. And if that's the case, then we should not be two-minute Christians.
Right.
This country should not be just a one service a week country. So, the example of God, He daily loads us with benefits. The example of the early church was not so. They did things daily. So my message this morning is daily things that we should have in our Christian life. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can tune this out because it doesn't apply to you. But let me tell you something. If you don't know, if you have a home in heaven, you need one.
Right.
And Jesus Christ came, the perfect Son of God, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for your sins. And He offers forgiveness of the sins if you accept His substitutionary death on the cross. He paid the penalty for sin, which is death. 3 days later, He rose again. And now He sits on a throne in heaven, offering eternal life to whoever will ask for it.
Amen.
If you've never asked for eternal life, you need to today. If you never had forgiveness of sins, you need that today. If you never asked Him to be your Savior, you need that today. Because there are no self-made people in heaven. There are only God-made people by believing in Him. So this morning, I want to look at six things that we should have in our daily walk. You know, it's the church's responsibility to equip its members to walk faithfully. And that's my responsibility as a pastor to you. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we look at these things, you ask yourself this question: am I doing these things? Well, the first one is, we need a daily renewing of the inner man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I want to point out something in this phrase. The very first phrase says, it says, "we faint not," which means that we're supposed to keep on doing it. Most people just give up. If something gets a little bit too hard, I'm done with it. Because it just takes too much time. It just takes too much effort. I don't see any benefit in it. But it says we're supposed to faint not. And it says that our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We all take care of our outward appearance so we see we're presentable to the world. But folks, we need to daily take care of our inward part so we're presentable to God. You know, if we didn't take baths, we would stink and people would be rejected by us. If we did not change our clothes, we would smell and we would be not presentable to people. And folks, what we need to understand is what our inner man defines us. The Bible says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." It's an issue of the heart. We keep on doing this. And folks, how's your heart this morning? Is it renewed? Is it presentable to God? Our inner man defines us. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "And that put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Did you put on the new man this morning? Paul says, he says, "I am crucified with Christ." He says, "I die daily." Each morning we get up and we put on new clothes. We put on clean clothes. And if you don't put on clean clothes, you stink. And folks, if we don't put on a new inner man, if we don't renew our inner man every day, we're not going to be acceptable to God. Because that's what God says, is we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable to God. "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the" what? "Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Have you renewed your mind this morning? It's something that we need to do every day. We're supposed to be different today, more like Christ today than we were yesterday. We're supposed to be conformed to His image. And that can only be when we renew our inner man, because the inner man defines us. Secondly, something that ought to be in a Christian's life is daily reading of the Word. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer in the Persian Empire. He had heard about the plight of Jerusalem, that the walls had been all broken down, and he seeks permission from Xerxes to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And so he makes him governor and he gives him the resources and he goes there. And in a miraculous period of time, they get the wall built in the height, in the face of all these obstacles. Well, in Nehemiah 7, after they get the wall built, they bring the entire people on top of the wall and they're praising God. And they're singing to each other like in a basketball game when you're doing the cheer across the thing, you're taunting one another. But they were praising God here. And then after that ceremony, they had a revival. And folks, our church needs a revival. Our country needs a revival. And the preacher by the name of Ezra stands up, and they made him a pulpit of wood, and he stood up above the crowd. And Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 18 says, also day from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Oh, by the way, they stood for hours. And they loved it. Because God meant something to them. They weren't average. They weren't average. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. So they were renewed by the inner man. They were daily reading the Word. And you know something? We should be dedicated to the Word of God. How much you know about God's Word basically shows your level of dedication to Him. I guarantee you, if you read God's Word, you won't be average. It'll change your life. You know, I challenged you all. It's a big book. It's hard to read. It takes so long. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You know, if you read 15 minutes a day, you'll get through God's Word in a year. I've done it. Over the last 20 years, I've done this. It works. And every time you read it, it's new. And so, we need to read God's Word. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, talking about the Bereans. Oh, I want our church to be like the Berean church. It says, these were more noble. They weren't average than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word in all readiness of mind, and what? Search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Do we even open up God's Word when we come to church? Because we have it up here. But do we open it up during the week and apply its laws to our heart? In Psalm chapter 119, verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you go out on our Facebook page, you'll have a daily Bible reading schedule. If you want a daily Bible reading schedule, I'll give you one. Most of your study Bibles have one in there. You need to make effort to do this. Because first of all, you'll see what the truth is. Secondly, how do you live your life unless you have knowledge? You know, the point is that why do you go to school? You go to school to hang out. Go to school to make friends. You go to school to socialize. No, you go to school to learn. You go to school to learn. Because you learn things that are applying to your life. I was a math teacher for a year down at Southwest Independent School District here. I taught geometry. And everybody in my class said, what's all this stuff mean to me? And I said, okay, I'll give you an example. You want to paint a room in your house. Your room is a rectangle. And you have this 10 by 8 with 8-foot wall. And you need to know how many cans of paint you need. So you go and you figure out how much wall square footage you have. And you say, I got 650 square feet of wall. So you go down the paint and you read on the paint and it says, we'll cover 400 square feet, maybe. And so you buy one gallon of it, and guess what? You run out. You say, I'll need 5 quarts. Then you have too much. But you say, hey, I could do the math, and I can figure out I need 1.5 or 2 gallon, and I have a little bit left over. Or I could buy 1 and 2 quarts and have just enough. But see, that's applying what we learn Folks, we never will apply what God's Word says unless we know it. Every Sunday, if you look up here, there's a memory verse. And some of them are common. They're in the bulletin too. But you know this? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want to figure out what's right and wrong? Read God's word. You want to find a direction for your life? Read God's word. You want to get some wisdom? Read God's word. Because see, our inner man defines us. If it's not renewed, it gets stinky. And then the second thing is daily reading of the word basically shows our dedication to God. I guarantee you, if you read the Bible through, you will not be the average Christian. You'll not be the average Christian. The third thing. Daily prayer to the Lord. In Psalm 86, verse 3, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." This crying out is to him in prayer. See, the amount of our prayer life shows how dependent we are on God. In the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke, Jesus gives the disciples and whoever wanted to listen a model prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer and they pray that and they say, "I'm good." No, it's just a model. It's a blueprint. It's instruction for this. There's several things we ought to pray for daily. We ought to pray for God's will. In Luke chapter 11, verse 2, and it says, "And he said, and then when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." So we need to pray for God's will. We need to pray for God's provision. In verse 3, he says, "Give us day by day," or what? Daily bread. We need to pray for our spiritual walk. In Luke chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation," but what? "Deliver us from evil." Folks, we need deliverance every day. If not, your inner man's not renewed. There's other things that go beyond this. We need to pray for God's protection. David says in Psalm 56, verse 2, it says, "My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." And then, last week we talked about, don't let your heart be hardened. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and what? Pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Because we need to pray for others. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I exhort." He's motivating Timothy. Paul's motivating Timothy. "Therefore, that what? First of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men." And then he goes on and says, you're supposed to pray for your king. You're supposed to pray for government. So, you know why things are going bad? We're not praying. We're not calling down the power. Elijah called down the power of God. He's the same God. But we must be different then. We must be just the average two-minute Christian. You know, we have all sorts of help. "I just don't know what to pray for." Well, do you know in our bulletin, on the back, there's a prayer list, prayer request there. On the back side of it, the prayer list. Pray for these. We update them every week. What we have here goes in there. Sunday's just not the day of prayer. Every day is the day of prayer. Guys, I pass this out. Look familiar? Have you prayed for it this week? You know, you pray through this, and you pray for that, that's about 15 minutes. Well, I just can't make the time. You have the time. The studies prove it. How much time do we waste? I wasted an hour last night. We were watching TV, or my family was watching TV in our bedroom. And I said, I'm going to go to bed. Out of here. But the screen's green. And our cable box kind of went fritzy. So I spent an hour fixing that. Went to sleep at 1 o'clock this morning. That was dumb. But you know something? I thought it was important enough. And I spent my time doing it. Got it fixed. But folks, I was going to take a sleep time and do that. How much free time do we have to do something else? It's an issue of priority. Reading the Word of God shows how dedicated we are. Praying to God shows how dependent we are on Him. Renewing our inner man shows how much we're defined by Him. And then next, daily praising to the Lord. Psalm 72 verse 15 says, "And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer shall also be made for him continually, and daily shall he be" what? "Praised." You can do that by reading God's word. You can do that by praying. You do that in a car. Now, I think it's good to get away in a room and pray by yourself. But there's things that we can do when we're doing other things. See, my question is this. Do we daily delight in the Lord? We need a daily delight in the Lord. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a" what? "Good man are ordered by the Lord." I don't think a two-minute Christian is a good man. Good means that we're doing what God wants us to do. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he what? "Delighteth in his way." Is God showing you the way that you want to go? Then you ought to be happy in it. But if you're not happy in the way your life is going right now, why? Maybe it's because God's not there. Maybe you need to get God the priority to direct your steps. "Thy word is a light unto my feet, and a light unto my feet, and a light unto my path." In Psalm 40, verse 8, "Oh, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Is this something that can be said of you? If you're renewing your inner man, you would delight in the way of the Lord. If you know the Word of God, you'll be dedicated to it. If you're praying, you'll show that you're dependent upon Him. And then we can have daily praising because we show our delight is in Him. Folks, we do the things because we like to do them. Because we see usefulness in doing them. Because we see worth in doing them. Folks, I guarantee you, praise is worthwhile because He is worthy to be praised. Prayer is worthwhile because He taught His disciples to pray. The Bible, to read it, is worthwhile because in it is all things to life and godliness. Putting on a new man every day is worthwhile so people will see a difference in our lives. So the fourth thing is daily praising to the Lord, and that leads to this. Daily exhortation of one another. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, it says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today." See, like we used this verse last week. It's today. You can make a commitment today to do this. "Lest any of you be" what? "Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Folks, if you renew your inner man, you'll be less prone to do it. If you read the Word of God, you'll be less prone to do it. If you sit there and you pray to Him, you'll be less prone to do it. If you're wanting to praise Him, I guarantee you, you'll be less prone to do it.
Amen.
See, we need to disciple one another. We need to disciple one another. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 4, verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance. That means do it. Don't let it just, that's nice. I'll just kind of do that. It means put some effort into it. Be diligent about it. Till I come, give attendance to what? Reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In Titus chapter 1, 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. See, there's a two-part thing here. If we're dedicated to God, we're doing this, we'll encourage other Christians. We'll be sensitive to the needs because we're praying for them. We'll help them out because we know what the Word of God says about it. And then others on the outside say, this stuff doesn't work. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to hear people will say, well, this will never work. It will work. It will work. The reason it doesn't work for you, you don't believe. And so it encourages those who are trying to do the right thing, and it basically convicts those who aren't. And so we need to do daily exhortation to one another, and the last thing is daily cross to bear. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, and he said to them all, not just the disciples, to everyone, he says, if any man will come after me, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You're following Christ. So this applies to you. You have a relationship with him? This applies to you. He says, if you want to do this, then this is what you're going to have to do. Let him deny himself. Oh, that's putting on the inner man, renewing the inner man. Because your inner man defines you. And take up his cross daily and what? Follow me. Take up his cross daily is a command. A daily command. And follow me. What it does is a decision that we must daily make. We'll choose to do the things that we want to do because we think that they have worth. Because if not, you won't do things that you think is a waste of time. So if you're not doing these things now, you must think that they're a waste of time. No. But he's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all prayer. He's worthy of all reading his word and hiding the word in the heart. He's worthy of all this thing. In the book of Daniel, the first part of Daniel talks about four individuals. There's Daniel and the three Hebrew friends of his. And they were captured. And they were brought to Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And just like all the other captives, they were supposed to be fed with the king's meat. And they rejected the king's meat because they knew the word of God. And they prayed to God. And they said, we're not going to eat this. We want pulse. We want beans. And we're going to live on beans. And he said, this won't work. You won't get fat enough for the king. But what happened? They did. But here is the kicker. When Nebuchadnezzar examined all of them, after they've been trained in the Chaldean customs, Nebuchadnezzar found that Daniel and his three friends were 10 times better than the average. They were 10 times better than anybody else. Folks, you want to be better? You got to do better. You can't be just like the rest of the people. You got to do what God's Word says. And you'll be a lot better than you ever thought you could be. There's an old song, Dare to be a Daniel. Kids can sing it. But it basically says, the chorus says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Don't be average. Don't be average. Dare to have a purpose true. Dare to make it known. Folks, it's time not to be a two-minute Christian. It's time to not be average anymore. It's time to show that God is worth our lives and our dedication. He defines us. We should be dedicated to Him. We should be dependent on it. We should delight in Him. We should disciple others. And we need to make a decision today. Are we an example? How is your daily life? How is your daily walk? Do you read God's Word? Do you pray? Do you share? Do you help others? Are you doing what God wants you to do? If not, why not? But if not, today, make a decision to follow Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. I just ask for You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord. Show us where we are lacking, Lord. Show us where we're average. And Lord, make us more than that. Father, help us, Lord, to be empowered by You. Help us, Lord, to have Your Holy Spirit have free reign in our lives. Help us, Lord, to make a decision today that we will follow You. We'll give You this time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Just as